Rebbe, I just want to say one thing. Based on our conversation, you will find my what I promised you. It's under anonymous, but look at my email. My name is not there. So in case you're wondering, I did do that.
I always appreciate it.
No problem.
Okay, Rabbi Isai, this is the last share, the last Gemara share, at least, of Tovshin Pei Gimel. Be'ezus Hashem Yisborach. I'd like to learn a Tosas, Mit Hashem. It's the top Tosas on Daf Chof Aleph Omed Aleph. Now, in order to understand this Tosas, we might not learn all of it, but at least part of it. In order to understand the Tosas, we have to be absolutely clear now in the Gemara. We learned yesterday with regard to Tamar, the Gemara said that Tamar was the daughter of a Yefas Toyar. Ma'achor was a Yefas Toyar. And the Gemara proved that she must be the daughter of Yefas Toyar, because otherwise, how on earth could she have been advised to go and marry or have relations with Amnon? After all, they shared a father. They were both the children of David HaMelech, albeit from different mothers. But surely you're not allowed to have relations with a sibling, even if it's only a half brother or half sister. So how are they allowed to have relations? So it must be that Tamar's mother was in fact a Yefas Toya, which means she was not Jewish at the time. And under those circumstances, then it would be mutter to have relations with Amnon, even though they shared a brother. That was the Gemara. Now, that's clearly assuming that Tamar's mother was not Jewish at the time that David HaMelech had relations with her, and it was from that relationship that Tamar was born. Then we can say, because Tamar's mother was not Jewish at the time, therefore, she's allowed to have relations with Amnon. And this is now going to be the big discussion. Why is this going to be the big discussion? This is going to be a very big discussion because we made brief mention of it yesterday, but now we're going to learn it properly. The Eishes Yefas Toyar is, of course, at time of war, non-Jewish. No question about that. There's also no question that he takes her home. She has to undergo the whole process, as we know, upon which she converts and becomes fully fledged Jew. No question about that either. The only question that remains, and this is the discussion of Tosfos, at what point is the Jew allowed to have relations with her? Is it only following her conversion to Judaism after she's been taken home? But prior to that, it's also to have relations. Or maybe the first bia, the first time they have relations, maybe that is in fact permissible even prior to her conversion. That is actually a very big machlokes. Now, Rashi is of the opinion that you're not allowed to have relations until you've taken her home and converted. That's Rashi's opinion. We'll see it in a moment. Tosfos will quote it. Why is that highly problematic? Because according to Rashi, and bear with me, everybody, according to Rashi, that you're only allowed to have relations, this Jewish soldier is only allowed to have relations with her after he brings her home and converts her. If that's the case, it means that he never actually has relations with her while she's a non-Jew. He only has relations with her following her conversion. So why is that a huge problem? That is a colossal problem, because how on earth does that fit in our Gemara? our Gemara says that Tamar was the daughter of a Yefastoya, and how could she have relations with Amnon? Don't worry, because her mother was a non-Jew. But according to Rashi, how on earth does that help? Even though it's true she was a non-Jew, but Dor HaMelech would not have been allowed to have relations with her until her conversion when she was a Jew. And if Tamar, therefore, is the product of that relationship between David and the Yefastoya following her conversion, then it's totally irrelevant that once upon a time she was a non-Jew. But when David HaMelech had relations with Tamar's mother, Ma'achos, she was a Jew, which means that Tamar is a Jew, which means that she has no right to have relations with Amnon. This is Tosfos' enormous kasha on Rashi. So have a look at this Tosfos of Chof Aleph Amud Aleph. Says Tosfos, "Di salka datach bas nisuyin havoya." If you would have thought that David HaMelech initially was absolutely fully fledged married to the Yefastoyar, is mi have a sharia lei? The Gemara asks, would anybody have permitted Tamar to marry Amnon? Obviously not. So we must be able to conclude, this is what the Gemara's maskana is, that David HaMelech had relations with Tamar's mother, not as a fully fledged wife, which means at the time, she was still a non-Jew. Says Tosfos, Mikan kosher lepirish akuntres. Based on our Gemara, says Tosfos, this presents an enormous difficulty on Rashi's pirish. Pirish akuntres is Rashi. Where is this Rashi to be found? Pirish akuntres bepere kama de kiddushin. If you look in the first parak of Kiddushin, what does Rashi say there? It says as follows: "V'haveso el toich beisecho," quote unquote. Where is that a quote from? That's a pasuk in Parshas Kisetze, and it says that you will bring her home. Now, this is the big question: when do you actually bring her home? Is this post relations or prior to relations? So Rashi in Kiddushin, this is now being quoted by Tosfos, says, Melamed, this pasuk teaches us, if the Torah says, you've got to bring her home, Melamed, Shelo Yilchatzena B'Milchama. What does that mean, Shelo Yilchatzena B'Milchama? Says Tosfos, Pirish, Shelo Yavoy Aleha B'Milchama. He has no right, no heter, to have relations with her at the actual battlefield in the midst of the war. Rather, you've got to bring her home. Umashma mitoich pirush akuntras. Therefore, the implication from Rashi is clearly da'afilu bia rishoino. Even the very first time that he wants to have relations with her, asura b'molchama, is absolutely forbidden at the time of war, ad La'achar kol ha'maisim kulam, until after the entire process, which culminates in her conversion, only then is it mutter to have that first beer. The imkein. So if we understand that according to Rashi, that the beer is shoina is asa until she's converted. Well, if that's the case, Loi bo David al Ma'acho. Well, then David could not have had relations with Ma'acho. Rak la'achar sheniskairo. When was the first time that David HaMelech could possibly have had relations with Ma'acho? According to Rashi, can't have been on the battlefield. It must only have been after he took her home, went through the entire process, converted her, then the Biyar Rishena was Mutter. Well, I'm very sorry to say.
Just a general question on your first Torah. So if the battle took a year, the person is schlepping around this woman for a year?
Right, according to Rashi. Doesn't have to schlep around, but Biyar Rishena is Osa until he brings her home.
Isn't that connected the whole idea of your first Torah? Like, because it's
machlokes Rashi and Tosfos. Rashi says that there's a limit to how much the Torah permitted, even though the Torah permitted it, but you've got to go through this process first. If that's the case, if according to Rashi that Biyah Rishayna is not permitted until she has been brought home and converted, in Kain Bas Nisuyin Hai. Well, it turns out that she is the daughter of a fully fledged marriage. And if she's the daughter of a fully fledged marriage, then we don't understand how on earth can Tamar have relations with Amnon. Veheicha Sharia Tamar LaAmnon Achsei. So if that's the case, how could Tamar have possibly been permitted to Amnon? Reb Nachum, your kasha is still outstanding. We'll see if Tosfos is going to address that. But this is Tosfos' enormous kasha on Rashi. How can Rashi possibly say that in the case of Yefas Toya, the Biyah Rishayna can only take place after you've brought her home, following the conversion? Well, if that's the case, then she's the daughter, Tamar, of a fully fledged marriage. Because according to Rashi, what must have happened? David HaMelech took Ma'achah home. They underwent the whole process. She converted. She's now a Jewess. Then they had relations. And then Tamar was born. So if that's the case, Tamar was not born from a non-Jew. She was born from a Jew. So therefore, she is therefore considered to be related to Amnon. She's a half-brother, sister. They share a common father, i.e. David HaMelech. And don't tell me that Tamar's mother was a non-Jew, because according to Rashi, by the time that David had relations with her, she must have been a Jew. So how could she have possibly had relations with Amnon? Unbelievable kasha. Second question, Reb Nachum, this is your shaila now. Says Tosfos, even furthermore, the Hamrinon, we say over there, Deloy, Dibra, Torah, Elo, Keneged, Yetze, Horah. This is the first famous line that the whole principle of Yefas Torah is based on what? That the Torah makes special mitigation for the Yetze Horah. Well, how have you made a mitigation for the Yetzer Hara if you tell him that actually it's also to have relations until you brought her home? Says Tosfos, mashma. The implication, therefore, of that line is shebemilchama. Already at the time of war, biyah rishayna havoi. The first relations was muta at the time of war. And that's how the Torah has made special mitigation for the Yetzer Hara. So we have two kashas on Rashi. Number one, based on logic, and number two, based on our sugya. In reverse order, the kasha based on our sugya is, if our Gemara says that Tamar was mutter to have relationship with Amnon, well, how can that be according to Rashi? According to Rashi, David HaMelech could not possibly have had relations with Tamar until her mother, Macha, had converted, in which case, she's considered to be a family member. She's a half-sister of Amnon. Kasha number one. Kasha number two is just based on logic. If the whole concept of Yefas Toya is to make a special condition because of the intense Yetzer Hara at the time of war, then surely it must be that at the time of war, the Biyah Rishayna is already mutter. So how can Rashi say, no, the Biyah Rishayna is only mutter after you bring her home and already converted? Well, that's not really considered, therefore, mitigation against the Yetzer Hara. Says Tosfos, Lekach Pirish Rabbeinu Tam. Therefore, Rabbeinu Tam explains differently, and he's choylek with Rashi, and he says, what does it mean, Lekach Pirish Rabbeinu Tam Hosam? Shelo Yilchatzena B'Mulchama. What does that mean? Lo Vayoleha Bia. According to Rabbeinu Tam, when it says that you can't have relations at the time of war, that means the Biyah Shniyah. For the Biyah Shniyah, for the second time relations, then you've really got to bring her home and convert her. But the Bi'ur HaShoinon, that is permissible at the time of war. So we have a machloikus between Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam. According to Rashi, there is no relations whatsoever at the time of war, not even the Bi'ur HaShoinon. And when is the Bi'ur HaShoinon permitted? Only after you've taken home and converted. Whereas according to Rabbeinu Tam, it's not true. The Bi'ur HaShoinon is muta at the time of Milchama. Why? For reasons we explained before, because Lo Yidibro Taira Elo Keneged Yetzahara. It's because if the Yetzahara is raging, the Taira therefore must have permitted the first Bi'ur even at the time of Milchama. It's only the Bi'ur HaShoinon which you have to wait for until you bring her home. So now, according to Rabbeinu Tam, everything is answered. When did David have relations with Ma'achah for the first time? The answer is, even at the time of Muhammad, before she converted. And if it was before she was converted, she was still a non-Jewess at the time, and therefore Tamar is really the product of a relationship in which Ma'achah was not yet a Jew. Under those circumstances, she is allowed to marry Amnon. So everything is answered according to Rabbeinu Tam. Whereas according to Rashi, it's not true. Because according to Rashi, the first relations that they could possibly have had was only after he brought her home, by which time she was converted, in which case Tamar is not the daughter of a non-Jew. She's the daughter of a fully fledged Jew or Jewess. But if that's the case, she couldn't possibly have had relationships with Amnon. What's going on? Therefore, says Rabbeinu Tam, I vehemently disagree. If the Torah made mitigation against the Yetzirah, it means even at the time of Milchama.
Rebbe, isn't it a bizarre halacha that because you cannot kovish Yetzirah, we're going to change the halacha for you? It's unbelievable. Like in normal cases, why don't they say if you see a married woman, the Yetzirah is so much that if you just one time, it's okay. I don't understand that.
Halacha in Milchama, the Rambam says, but there's another halacha which also applies only at the time of Milchama, and that is the pasuk in Pashas Vayeschanan that the Jewish soldiers at the time of war, again, there's a whole machloikas exactly how it works, but also has special halachas with regard to whether he's allowed to eat non-kosher food.
Yeah, but that's not out of taiva. That's not a necessity. He can't live without food. This is mamish giving into your taiva.
Machloikas. That's machloikas. The Rambam puts it all together. Al Kaponim, you're right. This is the tremendous chiddush of Yefas Toya. I should really point out there is one other case. Can anybody think of it? There is one other example in which the Torah allows somebody to do something under special extenuating circumstances because we know he's going to have an enormous urge to do it and we give him special dispensation to do it. The answer is, if somebody was killed by accident and he hasn't gone to the Ori Miklot, then the family member of the deceased is allowed to kill the murderer. Why is he allowed to kill the murderer? According to some opinions, it's even a mitzvah to kill the murderer. The Losh of the Pasuk is, the Yecham Levovo, his heart is bubbling. He's so angry with the murderer, albeit that the murderer killed his relative B'shoigeg. So there are special halachas, a whole bunch of halachas. He's allowed to, the Goel Hadam is the family relative, is allowed, as it were, to take the law into his own hands. He doesn't even need to go to a Bezdin or anything. It's a special halacha of Goel Hadam. There also you see this halacha that the Torah makes a special dispensation because we know, as the Torah writes, Yecham Levovoi. His heart is going to be so bubbling and angry. Now, you might have said, okay, well, it's too bad. You can't just go around killing people. But what's so fascinating is that Reb Chaim Shmulevitz, the Mirror Rosh Hashiva, points out that both in the case of Yefas Toyar and also in the case of the Goel Hadam, even though it's true the Torah has made a special mitigation because you're going to have your blood boiling, either in taiva for the ifas toya, or in anger against the murderer, and therefore the Torah has given you a special letter. However, even then, and especially then, look at how many halachas apply. It's an unbelievable thing. Some of you were in our shiur where we learned makas together a number of years ago. We have an entire perek, all dedicated to all the halachas of Goel Adam and Ori Miklot. It's a lengthy parasha in Pashas, Voeschanan and in Maseh. Why are there so many halachas? So too in Yefas Toyar, the Torah doesn't merely say, okay, Rabbi Yetzirah, I have a relation, so that's it. No, there's a whole process and there's all halachas and you've got to bring her home and 30 days. Why? So Chaim Shmulevitz says this tremendous yesod, because even when, in this very rare exception, even when the Torah makes special allowance for the Yetzirah, you can never, ever forget that you're an Eved Hashem. And even at a time where there must be a special leniency, but it must be packed with a whole bunch of halachas, just to remind you that there's no such thing as, okay, under some circumstances, you switch off from being Eved Hashem. No such thing. It's true. The Torah makes an enormous exception over here, special leeway because of the extenuating circumstances, but even then you have to realize there's a whole bunch of halachas. Don't think you're taking the day off from being an Eved Hashem. The great Kamenetzer Rosh Hashiva, Reb Baruch Be'er, somewhat bizarrely, used to ask his Rebbetzin to prepare him a meaty meal. He wanted to have a meaty lunch, which might have been surprising. Other Gedolei Yisrael, we know, were very happy to be sustained on a very small amount of food, and he asked, no, for a whole meaty meal. So somebody once plucked up the courage, why do you always insist you have a meaty meal for lunch? So he answered, because, do you know why I like to have a meaty meal? Because that's mechazik me. Why is it mechazik you? He said, because after a meaty meal, for 6 hours, I feel even more intensely than I'm an Eved Hashem. Because for 6 hours, I can't just now eat what I like. I can't have milk. That's why I want to have meat. In order to be mechazik, this feeling of an Eved Hashem. I can't just do what I like. Someone who's an animal or a goy, so he could do whatever he likes. So that's what Reb Baruch Sfer said, that no, that he, Dafka, has boso, so that for 6 hours, he knows that he's limited, and he feels even more intensely that he's an Eved Hashem. So this is the principle of Reb Chaim Shmulevitz, that even the Eishes Yifas Toya, all the Goel Adom, where the Torah really has made special exception and a special heter, but nonetheless, don't think that you switch off and it's a day off from Avodas Hashem. It comes packed with a whole list of halachas.
Is that applicable to any nisayon that Hashem sends you, where it's difficult to do the mitzvah, and now because of that you feel even closer to Hashem? Because this is an almost impossible task that Hashem is asking for me in my personal life. But regardless, I'm going to do what he says, not because I understand it, not because it's easy, because this is what he wants. Yeah. Is that Hashem's intention, that it brings you closer to him because of that?
100%, 100%. And if any of you want to join Mitzvah Hashem the Shir tonight, we're actually going to be discussing this, an incredible and very important yesod, which is that when a person puts in his maximum effort, not only does he discover koiches that he wasn't aware that he had, but he's actually zoicha to reach levels beyond his own koiches. Which means there's no such thing as, okay, this is just too hard for me, this is impossible. If a person puts in his maximum effort, he will actually be zoicha to reach levels that are really beyond his physical koiches. He gets special siyata d'shmaya. But you've got to put in your maximum. We'll discuss this tonight in Mitzvah Hashem, in the Parashat Shir Be'ezus Hashem Yisbarach. Okay, so back to our tesis. We have now, therefore, an enormous machlokes between Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam. When is the Biyah Rishayna Muta? According to Rashi, the Biyah Rishayna is not Muta until he's taken her home and converted him. Whereas, according to Tosfos, Rabbeinu Tam, The Bia Rishayna is Mutar at the time of Mulchama. The Bia Shnia can only take place after he's taken out. So if you look now in Tosfos, look at Tosfos. Tosfos continues and says, to be perfectly honest, this machlekas that I'm having between myself and Rabbeinu Tam might well be two opinions in the Yerushalmi. Says Tosfos, umachlekas be Yerushalmi. Actually, these two opinions, my machlekas between Rashi and Tosfos, is two opinions in Yerushalmi bein Rav Ushmul. Min hapirish the Rav. What emerges from the Rav's opinion? Rav says, Omar eino muteres b'milchomo elo bia rishoyna. The only thing that's muta at the time of war is bia rishoyna. So who is that like? That's the opinion of Tosfos. That at least the bia rishoyna is indeed allowed at the time of milchomo. Ushmuel Omar no. Af loy bia rishoyna v'loy bia shnia. According to Shmuel, nothing is muta at the time of Mulchama. Whose opinion is that? That is Rashi. So it turns out that the machloikas between Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam is actually a long-standing machloikas between Rav Ushmuel.
And according to Nachum's question, what would Shmuel say is the halacha of Yefas Tor?
Right, that's Tosfos' kasha. Yeah, it's a good kasha. It's a great kasha. And he asks that. Therefore, not only do we have a difficulty on Shmuel, what is the whole Inyan of Yefas Torah, but how will Shmuel learn our Gemara? Because remember, our Gemara seems clearly to indicate that what? That Tamar was the daughter of a non-Jew, which must have meant that relations happened at the time of Milchama. And that's what Tosfos says now. V'zeh l'shoyna Yerushalmi. If you look at the Loshon of Yerushalmi, it says, Tarati Milin are two matters, Atun Amre Mishmei Derav, Velesa Hocha, Atun Amre Mishmei Derav, you say in the name of Rav, Osir Love Oleo Bioshnia, Vani Aimer, Loi Biorishaina, Veloi Bioshnia. That is the exact Loshan. So Rav says it's only the Bioshnia which is Osir, but the Biorishaina is Mutter, and Shmuel says everything is Osir at the time of war. Says Tosfos, if that's the case, in Cain, Kasha l'Shmuel, Hachta Hocha k'deprishis, question mark. Well, therefore, according to Shmuel, which initially Tosfos called the opinion of Rashi, but now it turns out it's actually the opinion of Shmuel, according to Shmuel, that no relations are allowed until she's converted. So what does our Gemara mean when it says that Tamar is the daughter of a Yefas Toya, and therefore she's the daughter of a non-Jew? Can't be. She's never a non-Jew. She might have been that in the beginning, but by the time relations are allowed, she's converted. Therefore, says Tosfos, Al-Kain Nira Lameima. Therefore, it would appear you have to suggest the following. De Tamar Loi Hoysa Bas David. Actually, biologically, Tamar was in fact not the daughter of David at all. She'imoy kvar hoysa mu'uberes k'sheba'os l'milchama. This woman, Ma'acha, she was a non-Jew, but she was already pregnant. And she was expecting, who was she expecting? Indeed, Tamar. When did David HaMelech have relations with her? Might well be, according to Shmuel, only after he took her home and converted. Ah, so Tamar, therefore, has a Jewish mother. No, Tamar was conceived long before the Milchama. David HaMelech is, in fact, not the father of Tamar at all, and that's why she's allowed to have relations with Amnon.
Is Rebbeinu Tam saying this in the name of Shmuel, or right, he's getting a new answer for himself?
No, according to Shmuel. According to Shmuel, that no relations could possibly have happened until she converted, we're going to have to say that yes, but she was already pregnant, obviously from a different man, and that's when she gave birth eventually to Tamar. Says Tosis as a conclusion, why is she called Benois Malachim? If you tell me that Tamar is actually not the daughter of David HaMelech, so why are you calling her the daughter of the king? She's not. The answer is mitoich shegodlo b'chekoi shel David kori lo bas melech. It's true, biologically David did not father Tamar, but because she was brought up in the palace, we've learned this early on as well, if you bring up somebody else's child, then you consider it as if it's your own child, and therefore kori lo bas melech. Therefore that's why she's called the bas melech, meaning she is the daughter ki'ilu of the king. Even though, according to the way we just explained, says Tosafos, biologically, she is not the daughter of the king at all, because she was long impregnated even before she ever had relations with David HaMelech. But because eventually she was born and bred and raised in the palace, that's why the Navi calls her the daughter of the king. But technically, strictly speaking, she is not the daughter of the king, and that's how she can have relations with Amleth.
But this does not answer the second challenge on Shmuel regarding Yifas Torah.
Correct.
There's still an open kasha on him now. Then what's your halacha?
The main concern was, however, how does it fit in our Gemara? Our Gemara clearly says that Tamar was allowed to marry Amnon. So according to Tosafos, it's very good. Because David HaMelech had relations with her at the time of battle, the mother was a goy. But according to Shmuel and Rashi, that could not have been the case. The answer is, you're right. She was actually already pregnant, and she's not the daughter of David HaMelech at all. And that's why she's allowed to have relations with Amnon. So if she's not the daughter of David HaMelech, why does the Navi call her so? Because he raised her and looked after her. Okay, Rabbi Yisrael, we have to stop over here, and we bring Be'ezus Hashem Yisborach Tov Shin Pei Gimel to a close, and we're moida to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Baruch Hashem, we were zeicha to another year together, and we hope that we should be zeicha to another year and many years. Mitz Hashem, our dear friend Rav Moshe Zelig will rejoin us shortly for many healthy years to come. Be'ezus Hashem Yisbarach. As I mentioned, I went to visit him the other day, and he was feeling a little bit better. So we should daven for his refuah shleima on Yom Tov, Rav Moshe Zelig Ben Reisel, and Mitz Hashem, he'll be joining us hopefully next week or in the new year for many years to come. And everybody should be zeicha to aksiva v'chasima teva, daven well, feel well. All our tefillah should be answered, and we should only hear besuras tevas for a wonderful, prosperous, healthy, successful year to come in Mitz Hashem.